The value of books. This is Dr. Herbert L. Bareilly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campa, California, with Instant Illumination. The value of books. What is the value of books? I recommend to people that they take all their books and give them away or throw them away, but once they've read them, once they have had them in their house for a year and done nothing with them, get rid of them. Even reference books. Because you are a bunch of idiots. I'm a bunch of idiots. We're a bunch of idiots. If we hold on to a 2003 reference book from the Almanac. Because the facts that were facts in 2003 are no longer facts in 2006. And if we and the dates are different, obviously, and the experiences are different, and the happenings are different. But we hold on to them, and we say, look here, I got 2003, 2002, 2001. How bully for you? How often have you looked at them? If ever. And again, it takes you into the past. Now, it's bad enough to have the 2006, which is really 2005. Because they couldn't have printed up a 2006 unless 2005 went by, and 2005 was the information for 2006. Now 2006 will come out in 2007, you know. And so we're always a year behind. Now, is that what you want to be? Do you always want to be behind? Do you always want to be Johnny come lately on things? Now, once Einstein thought his theory of relativity, he let it go. He didn't pursue it further. He threw it to the wind and let the wind play with it, let the other scientists play with it. And then he went on to other scientific attitudes. And then in years later, when it was challenged and people wanted to talk to him about it, then he said, this is another way of looking at it, and another way. He looked at it in the current mode, at the current time, and the current attitude. And so he wrote a book on it. Now, Jim Hawkins, I believe that's his name. He's the fellow who has Lou Gehrig disease and can't do anything and can't talk or anything, and he's in this wheelchair, and he's got this thing that he can... and he writes books! Here he is with every possible limitation that a human being can have, and he writes books. Now, what does he write about? Where does he have the opportunity to read books to keep up current on these things? He listens within. My God, he listens within. And the value of books are nothing to him. He doesn't have a chance to read it. And then these great scientists come and have discussions with him. And he's able to somehow communicate with them through the devices that he has created and that he has around him. Now, there's a perfect illustration of a man who is living in the now and who is living inside himself and who is listening to the divine inside him. And everybody's coming to him because he's such a well-tuned-in man to the divine within him. I mean, and his work is brilliant. His writings are brilliant. I've read many of them. And he is an exquisite scientist. And he lives in the now. And there's not one ounce of unhappiness about his condition. Not one mention of his situation and how the press talks about it, other people talk about it, but he doesn't. Because he lives inside of himself, and he has a wife and kids, and he has a family, he has a life, and you know, here he's just a little chunk of flesh that's not a vegetable. Because inside that chunk of flesh, which doesn't function too well as a human body, and yet it does function, it lives, is that fabulous mind. And he has created channels to bring out that mind, even with all of the limitations that he is sitting there under. Now, what a magical being, not necessarily for the limitations that he has, but for the fact that he can only tune in to that divine source within him and come out with those ideas fresh, crisp, clear, not limited by anybody else's point of view, but just his, and people admire him. They sit at his intellectual and spiritual and scientific feet to learn from him, to learn from this absolute genius. It's like a Mozart, you know, that whatever he wrote in music, it was great and glorious right off the get-go. Well, the same with Jim Hawkins, Stephen Hawkins, yeah. He... Right off the get-go, his stuff is fabulous. His stuff is great. And, you know, he has an entourage people around him who carry out his bidding, who carry out the things and who make sure they get done and get down and stuff like that. And I don't remember offhand where he is now, but he used to have the ability to talk and to share and to say things, and that constantly over the years changed. But his ability to listen within only became sharper and sharper and sharper. It's like a person who is blind. They sense things. They sense a tree in front of them. They sense a traffic on the street. They sense that there's a step going down. And that when they have a dog, then they lose some of that sensitivity because they depend on the dog to show them and guide them as they're doing things. Last night, I walked home with Rex here, and at first, my eyes had not become accustomed to the dark, and it was very difficult to stay on the path properly. And he kept wanting to pull to the side to pick up a stick over here, and he was leading me off the path. I said, "Boy, you sure aren't a good blind dog." And then when he stopped, I knew he had to drain, you know, and so I had to wait for him. But you see, the books don't teach you things like that. You have to stop, and I had to just virtually close my eyes mentally and listen to what he wanted to do. And then as I walked along, the path became brighter and brighter and brighter. By the time I got to my house, it was like there was a floodlight on the path, you know, and I didn't need it anymore. But you see, books don't teach you these things. Your indwelling intelligence, your indwelling wisdom, your indwelling divinity reveals to you all the magical things that life has to offer if we will just train ourselves to listen to it. Now, we don't say, "Stephen Hawkins, how blessed you are to have that condition, so you must learn to listen within." You might have never learned to listen within if you had been in a normal physical body and a normal mental body, you know. But because you had the situation you got, you were forced to listen. Well, let's look at him from another point of view. True, his knowledge is grand and glorious, but his capacity for learning from within is what we all have. And we are not challenged by it. Like I said, it was like bright as day when I got to the house, but on the way there, it kept getting brighter and brighter as my own acclimation to the darkness and the reality of life grew and grew and grew. But books don't teach us this. I don't know. They may allude to it, but books want you to take their point of view. And I say to you, and I say to me and to everybody, whatever you believe within yourself, follow it and stand by it, and you will find that it will be a wonderful truth. We don't teach truths, more than one truth. There is a universal truth within each one of us, and it's basically the same. And all we have to do is tune in to that universal truth, and we will be responsive to any request that we have. Whatever it is, that universal truth within us will be responsive to any request that we have, and it will make us know anything that we already know, and be available to share it and enjoy it. It's wonderful, you know? It's really fantastic. But books can't do that. Books can only start you. People say, "Well, what books did you read, Herb, that got you to where you are today?" Well, my goodness sakes, my journey has been quite a number of years, and I've read quite a number of books, and I have thrown out quite a number of books, and I keep emptying my library from my experiences as a Congregationalist, my experiences as a Unity minister and teacher, and as my books from religious science and science of mind, and where I was teaching and working and sharing, and then from the various people that come into my life. My mother, when she passed, she gave me all her books, and one or two of them I hadn't read, and I really enjoyed them. But Mother went through Rosicrucian and many other areas which I didn't go through, and not that that's right or wrong, but so I had no interest in those books, because for me to start out at this age reading what she'd been reading all of her life just didn't make sense. And so I disposed of these books. Because, oh, you threw them away? Well, I would have given them to anybody who asked for them, but I'm not about to go searching for people to have old books that I no longer want, you know. And we try to give them to libraries, and libraries say, well, they're marked. Well, okay, then throw them out. Books are to be read. Dorothea, what is a pencil for? Marking up a book, right? You look at Dorothea's books and you say to yourself, Dorothea, how come there are three different pencil marks under one of these statements? She says, well, that's the third time I read it. And each time I read it, I thought it's so good I had to underline it again. And then I highlight it, and then sometimes I double highlight it. And Dorothea's books are like a big shining light. You open it, and the stuff jumps out of the pages. But it's Dorothea's experience that's jumping out of the page. It's her meeting with the divine within her in the words that she read and delighting her heart as she does it. And, you know, that's great. But Dorothea, your books are of no value to the world, because anybody else reads it, they're going to stumble over what you have done, yeah, because they haven't got that first impact for themselves. And they will get your they'll just read your highlights. You know, have you ever read somebody's old Bible and they've marked it up? And I know my mother never marked it up, but I had them from my aunts and uncles and stuff like that, family Bibles, and they're all marked up. And then there's pages in there, and then there's flowers in there, and then there's
Yeah.
All that
stuff.
Oh,
Adam's underwear.
Adam's underwear. There you go. Adam's underwear. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So that's probably the best thing that fell out of the book. Yeah. Sylvia, tell us about Adam's underwear.
Well, a little boy was leafing through the old family Bible with respect, and as he was leafing through it, something fell out, and he picked it up and saw that it was a leaf that had been pressed between the pages of the Bible. And he calls his mom and says, Mom, look what I have found. And she comes and looks and says, yes, what is it, dear? And he said with big astonishment in his voice, Mom, I think it's Adam's underwear.
And I guess that's the real value of books. Have a lovely day, and remember, the great knowledge is within you already, and books only help you draw it out. But they are not the essence, the result, and the finality. They merely help you draw it out. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.